Now, let's tell our audience that we, as promised, we have that interview that we were talking about. This is, we are going to talk with Rodrigo Abde. It's an honor, you know, to talk with Rodrigo because he's received the Pulitzer Prize because of one of his pieces of work. I mean, he's a photographer and he's been in conflicting countries and during conflicting periods. He worked in Libya and Afghanistan and Guatemala and Syria. And there is one of his photographs from Syria is that won the Pulitzer. So we welcome, Rodrigo Abde, who's at the other end of the line. Good morning, Rodrigo.
Hello, good morning.
Let me tell you that Fernando Farias is with me here. My name is Miriam Turcula, and we will have the pleasure of talking to you and asking you, what does it feel to receive a Pulitzer? That would be something really great.
Well, it's, I have like the impression that the awards sometimes, are really nice because, it confirms that what you do it's important and there is an audience that really appreciate the work of photojournalism. And the work in Syria was really difficult to do it, not only me, but my colleagues. But also, I am clear that the awards are something that is not the most important thing in anybody's careers. It's part, only a part, because sometimes people think that because you win an award, you became a better photographer, or if you don't win the awards, you are like a mediocre photographer. So I have this idea that we have to give a good space for the awards in our lives, but it's not the most important thing, really.
Rodrigo, I've got some information here about your work and about your career, and it says that for several decades you've been focusing on covering wars and armed conflicts, and how you became involved, how you became interested with this, it's quite a heavy topic.
Well, I was living in Argentina, and suddenly I became a staff photographer for the Associated Press in Guatemala. And as you know, Guatemala, it's a very tough country with a long history of civil war in the country with many, many terrible consequences. So I became a staff photographer there, and I covered really tough items and stories, even though the country is in a peace kind of moment with no civil war, but at the same time it's like a silent war, because like 17, 18 people died every day, are murdered every day in this tiny country. So because of that, because, I was covering all the time this kind of stories, mass graves of people massacred during the war, plenty of riots in prisons, crime scenes, etc. So because of that, probably my bosses understood that I was I was solid, covering this story, so they sent me to Haiti to cover the political turmoil there. They sent me to Mexico to cover the war on drugs. They sent me then 1 year to Afghanistan to work for the AP base in Kabul. And then, I continue doing these things, but not because I really, think in that for my career, because it was what I did for many years, and I like to be involved in these conflicts. I think that it's important, even though it's not easy and it's a lot of risk. I think it's important for us to show the rest of the world the conflicts that we can witness, and to give an opinion of how we see these situations.
Rodrigo, how do you take care of yourself when you are working in countries at war?
What, sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, how do you take care of yourself? What are the safety measures that you have to adopt when working in countries at war?
Well, you know, many safety. You have to listen a lot that the local people, you have to understand what people are saying and which are the advices. Yeah, I really think that the people in the ground, the people that live in the places, know better than us that, you know, arrive to a place and try to cover the stories. And then, you know, it's mostly working with colleagues, not working alone, trying to help each other all the time, try not to risk every day, try to think about which is the good moment to leave the place and not to be in the middle of a crossfire. It's like, it's a lot about experience also. It's a lot about, you know, also having friends that lost their lives and at that time you think twice when you go to a place. Mm-hmm. You think that it could be you, the people that, you know, are involved in a difficult situation. Mm-hmm. So, and also this idea of, you know, we don't need to be in the front line every day. We can cover the stories in a more intelligent, you know, way, not risking our lives every day.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, I mean, now we're talking about safety, physical safety, but I'm curious. I mean, in 40 years of covering wars, you must have seen some terrible things. And how do you deal with the, how to say, psychological impact? Or, I mean, how do you process what your mind, what your senses see and perceive in such an environment? You developed like a skin, like a thick skin, like a protection. You kind of isolate yourself in order to be able to work professionally, or you can't avoid getting involved as a human being with what you are witnessing.
Yes, what you are talking has a name, and it's a post-traumatic stress.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like we all, the people that went there, like, probably suffered that, and we don't really know. The good thing for me, I think, is that I didn't cover these kind of war zones, like, all the time, like many of my colleagues, that, you know, they never imagined to cover any other thing that is not war. I was, like, going to these war zones, but then coming back and then doing like a normal journalistic work. But yes, it's what you said. It's very difficult it's very tough to go to these places and then to come back and to have a normal life, to go to the supermarket with your kids and to, you know, to enjoy the normal things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know what is important, that when you go to these places and you have this limit, you are in these limited situations. You also, you know, you think about, you know, you put your life in context and the lives of people in context, and you realize that sometimes we are, you know, we're worried of such stupid things every day.
Mm-hmm.
And when the big problems are in other places. And that is important for us, so to put our lives in context after going to these places. But yes, I have like some friends with difficult problems of PTSD trauma you know, that you have to deal with that the rest of your life sometimes.
Rodrigo, do you have any special experience that you remember and you can share with us?
Well, a lot of experiences of this tough situation, but probably the most difficult one was in Syria.
Yeah.
We were with Ahmed Bahadou, he's a video reporter, and we were covering the war in the north of Syria, near Turkey, and we were covering the inside of the rebels in a city that is called Idlib, and it was they were like fighting like every day almost. And one day the Syrian army was getting super near our city, and we didn't know when we were going to get killed or caught by the Syrian army. So after 2 days of seeing dead people coming onto the, you know, makeshift clinics and seeing like too much suffering, we could get out from the city in one night through a tunnel and walking like for 5-6 hours in the field until we reach another city to get back to Turkey. And yeah, it was really difficult and sad, and we saw a lot of people killed, and most of them civilians also. So yeah, we saw the difficulties of the civilians during the war, and that was like in the start of the Syrian war. I can't imagine. That was in 2012, and from that time to now, I can't imagine how many people were killed by this war that has no end. So it's really, you know, it's really
tough
to see how a country is being destroyed in five years.
Rodrigo, the work of the photographer, I wanted to ask you, I mean, how do you see it? I mean, the role of the photographer, the photojournalist, the war correspondent in the past, decades ago, a generation ago, I mean, somebody like you was basically the eyes of the world. But now with everybody or most people having a cell phone with a camera and providing images from many times from the field that sometimes are picked up by international news outlets, what do you see the role of the war correspondent, the photojournalist, the professional photographer is in the context of that technological revolution, so to speak, now and in the future?
No, it's true that now there is like more images than ever before, and I think that is a good. I don't think that is bad for us. The thing is that you can have like images all over the world of people snapping, you know, and that can, you know, we can see that in very, very soon in the internet and in the TV channels. But it's, you know, that is not going in deep to the stories. That is, you know, showing very superficially what is going on. So I think that the role for us, it's like it's a good challenge, really, to tell more, to go more in the intimacy of the stories, to dig in what is the story, to tell the audience something that is more interesting, more not only the superficial images that of the breaking news, but also who are the protagonists, what is the feeling of the people.
Yeah,
how this story is going to develop, and what are the consequences?
Yes,
there
very
is
clear.
A lot to do that is not only the snapshot of the crash, of the accident, of the, you know, of the fight in a war zone.
Yeah, to see beyond the rush of the moment.
Yeah, there is a lot to do. You know, people, even though there are a lot of images, you know, all over the internet and all the TV channels, there's a few really work that really goes in deep to the stories, and that is the work now, is to do what the immediacy, like the breaking news don't do, is to tell somebody what is the most important topic of that story. What is the idea that is beyond that story? And that is our work.
Rodrigo, do you think that yours is a life job, or do you think that you will have to settle down and do something else at any moment? Because it is quite tough what you are doing.
Well, yes. I'm now, you know, I think a lot about that. And But as I told you, it's not that I go to the war zones like all the time. I really like to do other kind of photography, and I appreciate that, you know, to do, you know, now I am shooting pictures with a wooden camera, like a very old technique, and I like that, and I think it's important. I think that you can tell the stories not only going to war zones, but you can tell like daily life stories that are really important. So, you know, I am lucky that I can do other things. I am lucky that I can appreciate and I can investigate other places without other stories that I think that are important without going to war zones. So I think that I can do a good mixture of these tough stories with like normal stories or more light stories.
Good.
But they are also important, you know. We have to learn a lot about the world, and there is a lot to do.
Rodrigo, thank you very much for this contact with RAI, Argentina to the World, and good luck with the exhibition that is starting. Very soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us.
That was Rodrigo Abt, a Pulitzer Award winner, photographer, photojournalist. He inaugurates an exhibition, a photo exhibition called "The Afghan Camera," with 20 pictures that he took in that country that is torn by war.
RAI, Argentina al mundo. RAI, Argentina 面向世界.
RAI, Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentinian in the world.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
And you know, friends, we've been making a lot of noise on the shortwaves lately. Letters, mails, and reception reports flooded our office this week. Let me remind you that the reason is that we are back on the shortwaves. Through WRMI, Miami International Radio. So if you want to write to us and send us your reception report, you can do so to our regular mail. P.O. Box 555, zip code 1000, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Or to our email address, conexionrae@radionacional.gov.ar. Or to our website, www.rae.com.ar.